Last week, when Johnny talked about Jesus' statement, "I am the bread of life," we realized what a profound statement that Jesus is the one who satisfies our deepest needs, who satisfies us most completely. And it's an intensely strong statement that I'll satisfy all your needs, essentially. And so the statement this week, "I am the light of the world," is equally intense and equally all-encompassing. Because essentially, when we think about light, we're going to quickly realize that we can't exist. Life on this planet can't even exist without life. We can't exist without Jesus for more than one reason. Partly because he's our creator. And so before we get going too, Nate called my attention to a statement that it's probably my mistake because I send this information to Amelia. The very top little paragraph above your notes, it says, "Life cannot exist with light." Nothing like having a blatant lie in the church bulletin. But so that was not done on purpose there. Okay, so just a reminder that we need the Lord's help in everything we do. So let's pray. Father, thank you that you're present here. And we're learning that we're more dependent on you than we've ever realized before. From start to finish, we live because of you and we're dependent on you all the time. So we're acknowledging that and asking you to help us again as we think about your statements in Scripture of who you are as the light of the world. Help us understand and help us know the things, the steps you want us to take in applying this amazing reality of who you are. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. It's mind-boggling to me to think how life right now that we're living cannot exist without sunlight. I was doing a quick Google search, and they said if the sun was turned off, because first of all, if we remove the sun, the earth would just go spinning out in space and we'd be gone like that. If we remove the sun. So we can't remove the sun or we'd be decimated too quick. But if we could somehow just turn the sun off where it gave no more light, but it remained there but gave no more light, temperature just go right down quickly. They estimate in 48 hours, the average temperature on the whole planet would be 0 degrees. And that's 30 degrees below freezing. That's average temperature all over, and it just keep going down. We couldn't last for very long without sunlight, light. Everything. Your gas in your car is because of the sun. Just go down the list. Every aspect of life is ultimately back to the sun, the big light that we have. And so, yeah, life is obviously so important for us in every way. We're dependent on it right now in this room and for the technology that we use. So examples of light. It's easy for us to think of physical light that we can see, can't really touch it. We can experience the heat of it a lot of times. That's one aspect of light, but there's other aspects of light. And so intellectual life is dependent on intellectual life. Your brain's intelligence is dependent on intellectual light. A couple of quotes, we're not going to look at who these people are, but James Russell Lowell says, "Light is the symbol of truth." And we all want truth. We all want light. Alan Bloom, "Education is the movement from darkness to light." Obviously, that's different than physical light, but people describe it as light. Spiritual life is dependent on spiritual light. Edoyu Koyunakan says, "There is no denying that there is evil in this world, but the light will always conquer the darkness." We know that from Scripture, too. And also relational, emotional life is dependent on relational, emotional light. Martin Luther has a good quote, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness, Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Strong correlation of love and light. And that's what comes across in a lot of the music that we hear. Because I'm going to give a few songs here where the heart cry of people is they want light, they want love. And sometimes it's, I want to be your love. I want to be your light because of that love. Here's a song that was immensely popular in the late 70s. You Light Up My Life, sung by Debbie Boone. Rita, I was asking her, says, what song is coming to your mind when you think of light? And this one came to her mind first because she had heard it so much. She says, always on the radio back in the late 70s. But her You Light Up My Life, Debbie Boone, won the Academy Award for Best Music that year. It won the Grammy Award for Song of the Year. It won the Golden Globe Award for the Best Original Song. It won the American Music Award for Favorite Pop Rock Single. And it won the People's Choice Award for Favorite New Song. All of that in 1 year. One song. And what is it? What are the words of the song? So many nights I'd sit by my window. You give me hope to carry on. You light up my days and fill my nights with song. At sea, adrift on the water, could it be finally I'm turning for home? Finally a chance to say, hey, I love you. Never again to be all alone. Because you light up my life. You give me hope to carry on. You light up my days and fill my nights with song. It can't be wrong, because when it feels so right, because you light up my life. That's her heart cry. And here's another, a little more recent song by the Black Keys, Everlasting Light. This is from the other perspective. Wow, this guy's offering a lot. But he says, let me be your everlasting light. Your sun when there is none. I'm a shepherd for you, and I'll guide you through. Let me be your everlasting light. Let me be your everlasting light, your home when there is cold. In me you can confide when no one's there, when no one's by your side. Let me be your everlasting light. Oh, baby, can't you see? Sorry, I can't sing as good as these guys, but it's shining just for you. Loneliness is over. Dog days are through. They're through. Let me be your everlasting light, your train going away from pain. Love is the coal that makes this train roll. Let me be your everlasting light. My wife would never let me get by with singing that because she knows better. But that's why I'm so glad for the Lord. But this is the heart cry that people have. And then Taylor Swift sings Daylight. I've been sleeping so long in a 20-year dark night, and now I see daylight. I only see daylight. I don't want to look at anything else now that I saw you. I can never look away. I don't want to think of anything else now that I thought of you. Things will never be the same. I've been sleeping so long in a 20-year dark night. Now I'm wide awake, and now I see daylight. I only see daylight. And I can see it still in all my mind, all of you, all of me intertwined. I once believed love would be black and white, but it's golden. And I can see it all in my head. Back and forth from New York, singing in your bed. I once believed love would be burning red, but it's golden like daylight, like daylight. It's people's heart. They're crying out for light, for love. And we have Jesus saying, I'm your light. I'm the light of the world. Wow, what contrast. The Creator saying, I am your light. Just longing to be that light. And people are crying out for light. Wow, that could be heart-wrenching for the Creator, seeing that happening. So today, we're looking at those words. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We're going to look at some passages to go through Scripture, see what God's Word says to help us soak that in. It's not a new thought, I know. All of us have experienced His light shining in our hearts and our minds in different ways. But taking time by His help to understand that more clearly is awesome, because the light is so big, so bright, we're never going to fully comprehend it, at least in this life. But by His help, let's look at some of what He says. John 8, verse 12 is where we see this statement that we're using for the title here. When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Wow, that's a heavy statement. And the Pharisees knew that it was a heavy statement. So the rest of the chapter, not the whole chapter, but through verse 30, these guys jumped on him. The Pharisees jumped on him and said, "Who are you? Who do you think you are to make a statement like that? You don't have a witness. What credibility do you have?" And so Jesus was explaining patiently, like he does so frequently, explaining that God, the Father, is my witness. I'm from God. You know, his explanation is just like, so it upset them more. When their hearts weren't ready to absorb such heavy-duty truth, it just riled them up all the more. And that's what we see happening here in this chapter, that he was saying that the Father is his witness, and he's a representative of the Father. Because when you think about it, just another person like us walking around and saying, "I'm the light of the world." And some of these other statements, and even just to think about that reality, that man Jesus, he's the one that created the sun and all his galaxies. We haven't even found all of them yet. When he says he's the light, that's what he means. He's the creator of the light. He's the sustainer of the light. He's responsible for every aspect of light. And he's just a human. Saying that, it's just hard for my brain to absorb that he really, that really can be what he's saying there. So go to the next chapter, John 9, verse 4. He saw a man blind from birth. And the disciples asked, "Who sinned, him or his parents? Why did such a horrible thing happen?" Jesus says in verse 3, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happens so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Here's the big, heavy statement again. I am the light of the world. How does that fit with other statements that Jesus made earlier in his ministry in Matthew 5? He was talking to his disciples and said, "You guys are the light." In Matthew 5, 14 to 16, he says, "You are the light of the world." Jesus has just said, "I am the light of the world." And then he tells his disciples, "You are the light of the world." That seems like a contradictory statement. "The city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men." Your light? "That they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Of course, later we realize they had light because of Jesus. And so as Jesus' followers, the light is living in me, and so other people can experience light as I cooperate with him and let his light shine through me. So that's another, say, application of this, but we're not going to spend time looking at that, but just acknowledging that Jesus did make statements about us being lights also. Let's go on to John. John really is a place that, of all the Gospels, John is a place that talks most about Jesus being the light. I've heard some people describe him as the apostle of light, because in his letters, 1 John, he talks about light, and John, the Gospel of John, he really talks about light. So over to chapter 12, verse 35, we read where the crowd, Jesus is interacting with the crowd in verse 34. He said, "We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" Then Jesus told him, "You are going to have the light just a while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light." He's begging them, put your trust in me. while the light is here, while you have it clear. He's asking them essentially to become sons of God. Put your trust in me so you can be sons of light, so you can be sons of God, the source of light. Let's jump back clear to the beginning of John. A lot of us are familiar with John 1, especially. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Direct correlation with life and light. We'll be coming across that more later. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And we all know who that is. Wow. He is the life. He is the light, but he is the life of the world. All things were created. That means all those galaxies that are out there were created by him. He is life, and he is life. And that's just such a clear, dramatic explanation that Jesus is the source of all life and all light. And life and life can be correlated almost, I don't know how to explain it, it's not one and the same, but life is dependent on light. And so it's, life is dependent on Jesus. Every aspect of life, life that we live, is dependent on Jesus. Whether we definitely can't understand it all, but we need to acknowledge that he is life and he is all light from every angle that we look at it. Going on to verse 10 explains some interesting things. We'll look down to verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The glory of the light we've seen in Jesus. John testifies concerning him, and he cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." To which ties back to that statement there, the glory of God is in the grace and truth of Jesus. Verse 14. That's another angle on light. We can be caught up with the physical light and be in awe of that, but the glory of God, in my understanding, even looking at some of these other passages, his greatest glory is in his grace and truth. We're going to think about that here in a few more passages. But that's very interesting for me because I am so in awe of the sun, the stars. You just read about it and how much light and how big they are. Oh, that shows how the Creator is just so big, so awesome. And he's saying, wait a minute till you understand my grace and truth. That's more glorious. What? That's more glorious than that light? And we're going to look at a passage here. It's a different kind of light, but it seems like God is saying the light that he shines in our hearts is more amazing than the light that I can see with my eyes. Really? I want that, Lord. I want to understand that. What kind of light is that? That he can shine in my heart. 2 Corinthians 4:6 is that verse that takes me down that road. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,'" he's saying the one who made light, the sun and all the light there, he spoke and brought it into existence. The same one who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," that one made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. He wants us to see His glory even more. How? By the light shining in our hearts. To see, give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That simple man who lived 2,000 years ago, God's awesome glory that's more amazing than the glorious sun in the universe is in the face of that little man? What's going on? That's where I find the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ? That guy, 2,000 years ago? Humanly speaking, it's mind-boggling. So what is this kind of light? Let's think about that statement. That kind of light is found in the face of Christ. What does he mean by the face of Christ? Let's look at some passages here, because a good way to understand one part of the Bible is go to other parts of the Bible that make statements about the same thing. And usually it gives more dimensions of that same truth to better understand it. So let's take a few minutes to do that. The meaning of light as we see in the face of Christ. Exodus 33:10-11. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, as the people of Israel, when they had left Egypt and were traveling to the new land that God had promised, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. They would watch Moses go to the tent that was set up for meeting with God. And they said Moses would speak to him face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Something to do with friendship, this face-to-face relationship, the face in the face of Christ. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10. And there has not risen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. 2 Samuel 21:1. Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year. And David sought the face of the Lord. David is also called a man after God's own heart. Interesting. Deep friendship is related to face to face, seeing the other person in their face. Psalm 27, verse 4, 8 to 9. The writer says, one thing I've asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And then verse 8, you have said, seek my face. He's talking to God. You have said, seek my face. He wants friendship. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me, because it seems so hard. Yes, Lord, I want to see your face. Don't hide it from me. I can totally identify with that, because it seems so hard to see his face. And he says, I need to see his face. But why is it so hard, Lord? I'm learning. But that's the key to seeing the greatest light life ever, the greatest aspect of our Creator. So a summary of what we've looked at so far. I've kind of outlined it in these two comparisons in this chart. Physical light, there on your left, God's light to our eyes, the physical light, which is awesome. Face-to-face friendship with people. A lot happens when we can see the face of another person and interact with face-to-face conversation. But also, it's tied with heart-to-heart, sharing two people's hearts together. When you can do that face-to-face and share your heart, that really builds the bond, builds a deep relationship there. But for us as human beings, we can only do that with one or two or hardly very few people to have a heart-to-heart, close face-to-face relationship. But on the other side, God's light to our heart is a spiritual life, not just physical. But he calls it face-to-face friendship with God. And so God's glory to be shown in the face of Christ, it's a different kind of light that comes to our hearts And that correlates with friendship. His light is brought to shine in our hearts. And how do we see that light more clearly? In the face of Christ. And that's the advantage of God. He can have heart to heart with every person who wants it. Unlimited. The deepest intimate communication with every person because of His Spirit. And it's God's Spirit communicating to our spirit that goes on in the heart. So I can't define what all is heart and what is spirit, but it's innermost part of our being. God communicates with His Spirit in a different kind of light. And He says that light is powerful. Very powerful. So two advantages of God's spiritual light to our hearts. Every person who wants it can have it. And also, God's Spirit can communicate more intimately and deeply to our hearts than any other person can. So as deep as I can try to communicate with my wife, I can't get as deep as God's Spirit can. Because God's Spirit just knows all of the Spirit, the heart, everything about Rita. And God knows my heart better than I know my own heart. And so as I open up to Him and ask Him and I seek His face, Lord, I want that. I want Your light to shine in my heart. Shine it brighter. And He's able to do that more than a human relationship. That's exciting to me that can happen in our hearts. So what is the kind of light that we see in the face of Christ? What we read in John 1 helps me understand a little bit of that. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So that light that Jesus, that God is shining in our hearts through the face of Christ has a lot to do with grace and truth. A lot to do with grace and truth. And John 1, verse 15, 18, it's repeated the same thing. That grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the grace of God, the truth of God tied in with that grace is a special kind of light that goes to my heart and it transforms my heart. It's the most powerful light. The most powerful light that can bring about change in the world. Wow. Some of you probably experienced it, and Arita's told me her story of when she understood the gospel, that she was totally forgiven and God wasn't going to judge her. She went outside and said everything seemed brighter. It seemed like the sun was brighter and the world is just, it's like the light went on in a new way outside. It physically, her physical experience, her emotional experience seemed to be in the physical world because of what happened inside. That's interesting to me. And you guys have experienced it different ways. That when that light goes on in your heart, it seems like it has an effect on the outside physical world. I don't know how to explain all that's going on, but there's a lot of connections that are happening. Wow. This last week, after some of you are aware that one of the other Asian leaders, a year ago, there's four Asian leaders that I worked very closely with, spent all my phone conversations, especially three of them. Two of those three are now out of commission. One went to be with the Lord on Christmas Eve. The other one, Herman, who was the reason why the whole organization of Philippine churches got started when Herschel was there was because of Herman. And he had a stroke last Sunday. And he was in the ICU, unconscious for days. And when I talked to him on Facebook Messenger, his daughter was all excited he was talking, but his talking was, "Oh, that was his talking to me." And he could only raise one hand. I don't know what's going to happen. That's troubling to me. I want answers. What about his family? What about JJ's widow? I don't know the answer to her widowhood, her family. I'd like to see her supported the rest of her life. But are donors going to be giving all this money to support the rest of life? Herman's family, are donors going to be supporting him for the rest of his life? And the ministry? I don't know. And so I was weighing on me and asking the Lord, Lord, you're the light. You know. What are the answers? What should we do? And then it was, I in my mind would wrestle with those things, and there's no answers coming to my mind. But then I remembered what Johnny emphasized at the beginning of gentle and lowly. Another thing that Jesus said, that he wants me to take his yoke. Take my yoke upon me. Because his burden is light. So, okay, Jesus, I don't have to know the answer. I want the answer. It'd really help if you could tell me the answer. Jesus, I am your answer. I am your light. So I let that soak in. That brings peace and joy to my heart to just realize you are the light. You will give me light. You will give me wisdom. Whatever I need at the time, it seems extra hard when I don't know what to do. Well, Mike, you'll know what to do today. Just keep coming to me. Let's walk. Face-to-face relationship. So that's what I'm learning. And that was very encouraging for me. And I need that reminder all the time, Lord. This is, Mike, let me take care of it. So I want to give a quick summary here. Practical ways to seek the face of Christ. Because God's glory, his greatest light is in the face of Christ, right? So if you want the greatest light, if you want to see the most powerful light in the universe, it's in the face of Christ. So practically, how can we seek the face of Christ? Principles are the same as any friendship. Face-to-face time is important. Essentially, it's very hard to have a friendship, a deep, close friendship without face-to-face time. And the more time, the better. 1 minute of face-to-face time, you say that, husband said that to your wife, well, we had a minute of face-to-face time last week. No, the more time, the better for a relationship. You talk to him, verbal or written, to God. Write it down. Some people just to verbalize it all. We're made differently. Express our feelings, negative and positive. Express desires and dreams. This is what we do with human friendships, and that's what he wants with him. Ask our questions to him. And it's listening, talking, it's communication. You listen to him, read the Bible, meditate, take time to think, writing down what you remember and what you read. It's not new to all of us. I need these reminders that this is where the greatest glory in life is, in the face of Christ. Yes, why am I neglecting that? Lord, help. Resources can help, such as the search option in Open Bible. I just throw that out. I used to have a topical Bible and everything, but this search engine is, I'm continually amazed. OpenBible.info, not OpenBible.org, because that's a church website, but OpenBible.info. The topical search, you can just type in, what do I do when I have a bad employer? And it's not a commentary. They just give a whole list of verses related to that subject. You can run through that list. Oh, that one relates to my situation. That one does. That's all they give is verses related to that topic. What do I do about studying in school? Punch that in. And they give all these Bible verses about studying. That's in any subject. And sometimes I go there with a subject and they say, sorry, we don't have that subject on our list. Give us a few seconds and we'll get it to you. And you wait 20 seconds or something, and all of a sudden this big long list of verses comes out that relate to that subject. And at the end they say, would you like to add a different verse to this subject? Throw it in here and we'll put it on this collection. That's what I like about it. They just give you verses on any subject and you can pick and choose the verses without any commentary. I love that. So that can help stimulate. Seek your face, Lord. What do you have to say? And readers reminded me that's how he got married. Because I was so confused about marriage. And so I did a topical study. Lord, what do you say about marriage? And I went from Genesis to Revelation. I won't tell you the story now, but Rita knows it. Told it. There's a certain verse that came like, okay, Lord, you want me to get married. And I knew right then, somehow, just like the light went on, and I went to bed saying, I'm a married man. I hadn't even proposed yet. Because she'd already told me before that she'd be ready to marry me if I ever, you know, was this. So it's a different, our story was not the norm, but it's amazing. And so, yeah, it just happened from a topical study that I, back then, is this book. Find every verse on marriage, and that's how, as I sought the Lord's face, He made it clear. Wow. The effect of Jesus' light, we need to wrap up. We're not going to spend time. 1 John 5 talks about walking in the light. If we don't walk in the light, we won't be loving our brother. Correlates with walking in the light with love relationships with people. You can read what John says about that there. But come to the conclusion, if I have problems in a relationship, if I can't stand being with this person, it's because I'm not seeing God's light very clearly. I'm not seeing the light that shines through the face of Christ clearly. Because 1 John says, if I would, my heart would be in love with this person here. And 2 Corinthians 4 is another place that talks about how, when, where this light shines the brightest. This is not a fun passage. Oh, it comes right after that verse that I read about His light shining in the face of Christ. The knowledge of the glory of God is in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus, remember that life and light are correlated, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Wow, that is so, I call it heavy. I want the light, but I don't want this that He's talking about. But how do I see that light? And Jesus on the cross, the face of Christ on the cross. That's where the glory of God's grace and truth shines brightest. We'll recall that real quickly here in a breaking bread, but let me just show you one verse that just brought me to my knees, tears to my eyes on this subject here. The last chapter in the Bible puts these things together such a awesome, mind-boggling way. Keeping in mind that it's in the face of Christ that we'll see His glory. He's talking about describing what will be happening at the end, Revelation 22. The water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Jesus is described as the Lamb 31 times in Revelation, his second most common title. Verse 3, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face. We'll see His face, the face of the Lamb. We'll see Jesus most clearly. And what happens when we see the face of Jesus, the Lamb, most clearly? Then there will be no more night. They, all those that are with Him, will not need the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Jesus says, I am the light, and it's in my face. And when we see His face more clearly, it's going to be so bright, we don't even need the sun anymore. Wow. That's a lot going on with light. Two kinds of light. somehow they merge here, Revelation 22, they merge in such a clear way, the face of Christ, so clear that the sun isn't even needed anymore. Lord Jesus, oh my, it's hard for us to imagine such things. Can this really be true? Sometime we'll see you face to face and things will be so bright that the sun isn't needed. You are the light. Somehow, yeah, you're the source. You are the one who created the sun. And somehow it's in your face. It says when we see your face, that's when the light's going to be that bright. Lord, we want you. We want you. Keep opening our eyes to see the light of you. And keep showing us how to seek you, how to get to know you, how to live walking in the light, how to walk in the light all the time. We want you, Lord. We want nothing else besides you and your light. So we pray in your name. Amen.